Turn with me your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We have a new booklet in the bookstore called The Independence of the Local Church by Chester Tolga. And Chester Tolga wrote many, many different pamphlets that were used of God to encourage people to stand for the truth and to stand for purity and separate from the denominations and function as a New Testament church. A couple quotes here in this book about the New Testament church. Francis Whalen says, "The Baptists have ever believed in the entire and absolute independence of the churches. By this we mean that every church of Christ, that is, every company of believers united together according to the laws of Christ, is wholly independent of every other, that every church is capable of self-government, and that therefore no one acknowledges any higher authority under Christ than itself. That which with the church all ecclesiastical action, that with the church all ecclesiastical action commences, and with it all terminates. The more steadfastly we hold to the independency of the churches and adjure everything in the form of a denominational corporation, the more truly shall we be united, and the greater will be our prosperity." And that is so true. This booklet will be in the bookstore. I encourage all you men, you ought to get a copy of this, read it 2, 3, 4 times. It's $4, and it's in the bookstore, and every man should make sure that you read this book. I'm not sure if Ricky's gotten it in the shelf yet, but it's going to be there. I gave her the box, and so need to read that book. Maybe we'll have a quiz on it, huh? What do you think? 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. What do you think, George? Think we ought to have a quiz on that book? Wouldn't hurt. That wouldn't hurt, would it? Okay, 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 27, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. As we think of the autonomy of the local church, we have been talking about a number of different subjects. We've been talking about the fact that the local church is supposed to be self-governing, and it is supposed to be self-supporting, and it is supposed to be self-propagating. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, we would see that the church is complete in itself. The church is complete in itself. Now, the church is typified as a body. Now, isn't it great that the miracle of a body. You don't, now maybe in old age you're going to have to borrow somebody else's body, you know, borrow their liver or borrow their heart or, you know, borrow something else from someone. But the figure here is the fact that the New Testament church is complete in itself. It is complete to function. It is complete to grow and to act and to govern itself and to increase itself and to edify itself. The church is complete in itself. You know, well, you think about it. Think of a little church. You know, when churches just get started, I suppose there's some people that, you know, they wish the church was bigger right away. You know, they want it to be big, real big. And but, you know, think of Liberty Baptist Church down there as they get started. You know, there is this fella, Godwin, is that his name? I think that's his name. And just think about what is going to happen in this young man's life as he starts functioning in that church. Just think of the growth. Think of the opportunity. Think of the challenges. Think of the tests. Think of the multitude of ways that that person has to grow. Now, you think about this. This isn't exactly related, but, you know, if you take the big churches, you take those churches typically. Now, this isn't always true, but you take typically a church of 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000, maybe even 4,000. You know, take one of these big mega churches that have 10,000 people going to church. Okay? Think about it. How many are they producing for full-time service? You know, if they were producing 1%, if I'm thinking correctly, 1%, that'd be 10. Is that right? 10 out of 10,000. Just 10 people out of 10,000. That's not a very big percentage, is it? Is it 100? Oh, yeah. Boy, I'd like to see a mega church have 100 people going to the Lord's work. I'd like to see it. I think 10 would even be big. 0.1%. But you know, a real functioning New Testament church doesn't have to be even 100 to see even 3, 4, 5 or more, or 6 or 7 young people called to the Lord's work right out of that little assembly. Think of that percentage. Why? Because it's a body of Christ. It is functioning. It is self. It is complete in itself. Everything is there. All the machinery. Oh, you know, when our church was small, we didn't have a choir. And we didn't have much special music. Our first Christmas program was, I think, 3 children. And it was less than 5 minutes long. Less than 5 minutes long. And you know, Glenn Quintana had our first choir. That was in 1980. I believe it was in 1982. And we didn't have any music. We used the hymn book. And it was very simple. But you know, it was complete. It wasn't as it hadn't matured, hadn't grown. The people weren't hadn't matured as much as they needed to, but the church was able to function, and it was able to function in itself. And this is very important. Now, obviously, the Bible tells us how that happens. And turn to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians 4:16, we've been looking at memorizing this passage, so you know this well. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. The measure of every part. And you know, every part has a degree in which it is sustaining the body. All right? Some members, God has called them to sustain the body and to build it in a greater measure. But everyone is required to function as a Christian for a church to be what it is supposed to be. Every joint, compacted by every joint. And it's compacted by the effectual working in the measure of every part. Now, in the Bible, there is no such thing as a non-active church member. There is no such thing as a non-active church member. The old Southern Baptist church roll, I think W.A. Criswell, his church down there, First Baptist Church, Dallas, I think it's the largest church in the world, maybe it isn't anymore. They have 35,000 people on the rolls. 35,000. Now, some of them might live in the Arctic Circle. I don't know. But they haven't been to church there for centuries. Well, less than that. But haven't been there. And they really are leaving the principle of every joint supplying its part. And of course, what are some of the parts? Well, fellowship, encouragement, example, fervency, faithfulness, godliness. Those are very vital parts of the church of functioning. People functioning as a Christian. Now, obviously, that is a vital part of a church, people functioning like a Christian. Now, obviously, it's important that a church function as a body. And that means that everybody should be functioning in the body. Everybody should be doing what they can do, what God has called them to do, using their abilities to help the church function. And the church functions in a lot of different ways. Winning people to Christ. Discipling people. Teaching the Word of God. Outreach, soul winning, a multitude of areas in which the church is functioning. And now let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. It says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body as it hath pleased him. Now this speaks of God's sovereign working. It speaks of God's sovereign working in an individual's life. And it speaks of God's sovereign working in the life of a church. And it says that God is the one who sets the members in there. Now, that's a good question for you, all right? Did God set you in to this church? Yes or no? Well, then if he did, he had a plan, didn't he? He had a plan, and he has a plan for that person, for you to function as a member. Okay, and so in one sense of the word, it's not merely, well, what should I do? No, it's what did God decide for me to do? Well, you know, that's pretty easy to figure out. That's really pretty easy to figure out. First of all, what are your natural abilities, and what are your spiritual strengths? What are your natural abilities and what are your spiritual strengths? God has given you natural abilities for you to use. He's given them for you to use. You know, the unsaved idea of a church is this. I've given this illustration before. There's a fellow in town has a big construction company. I don't know how big it is anymore. Most construction companies are trying just to stay alive. But he was just getting his construction company together, and I was witnessing to him and trying to win him to Christ. And he said to his wife, who was coming to church a little bit, said, "Well, the only thing he wants is he wants me to help them build their future church." Now, we didn't have any, I don't think we even had a church building at that time. We didn't have land at that time. But, you know, here's an unsaved person. What were they thinking? Oh, man, that's what they want. They just want to use what I have. Well, you got to flip the chart. You know, when you get saved, is God wants to use what you have. And that's why he saved you, for his glory. And if you're in the center of God's will, when you get saved, your first reaction should be, "Hey, look it. How can I use what I have for the Lord?" You know, when I first got saved, I was in University of Wisconsin wrestling team. And I was in Campus Crusade for Christ. And Campus Crusade for Christ had a wrestling team that went to all the famous colleges that had big wrestling teams. And they went to these colleges like Oklahoma and other places and had a wrestling meet. And then they had, in the middle of the match or after the end of the match, they had some testimonies and presented the gospel. And presenting the gospel to these athletes, champion athletes all over America. And immediately I thought, "Hey, I could do that. I could do that." Didn't even enter my mind of other things I could do because I didn't think I really had that much ability. But I wrestled, so I said, immediately the first thing I thought, "Oh, I could do that." You know, that's normal. Whatever you have, if you're saved, the first thing that comes to your mind is, "Hey, I'd like to use that for the Lord. I'd like to use that for the Lord." And you know, God has a plan in the local church. He puts people in the local church so you can use all your abilities for the edification of the body as well as the getting of the gospel to the ends of the world. That's God's plan. And the New Testament church is complete in that sense. It just provides a perfect place for people to serve and to develop use their abilities and to develop their abilities. You know, I can think of different situations. You know, when, for instance, I can remember, this is not a good illustration, I remember specifically a couple different people that they had gotten saved and they were faithful to church and they were growing. And I said to them, you ought to pray about serving in junior church. And I still remember one fellow said, no. Now, the problem was, if he would have said yes, he would have been challenged to have to grow He would have been challenged to have to study. He would have been challenged to have to pray. He'd have to be challenged about his personal life to be right with God and to do right. Yeah, there was a challenge there. It was also an opportunity. You know, it's kind of like the Africans. There's a missionary said to the Africans, he says, the African says, you know, missionary, we need a new building. And why don't you write to America and get some money for a new building? And the missionary said, no, I don't think that we should do that. I think that you should pray and sacrifice so God could bless you. And a couple of weeks later, the African came back to the missionary and says, no, I think that you ought to write to America and have them send the money so they can have the blessing. Well, they're missing the point, right? They're missing the point of the opportunity to grow, the opportunity to serve, the opportunity to develop your life for the Lord. You know, I think of, I could talk about Mr. Range here. Mr. Range is a professional carpenter, but really he's a professional biologist. And he knows all the little squiggly bugs you can't see except with a microscope. He can probably tell you all the names. But you know, Mr. Raines has superior sheds. And if you look on his truck, they got a really fancy sign now. And they really getting big time now. And they probably even have their own hats and everything. I don't know. But it's really getting big time. But you know, Mr. Raines... you know where he learned the carpentry work? McQuanago Baptist building projects. McQuanago Baptist building projects. You know, he could have said, no, that's not up my line. I'm into little bugs. I only work with microscopes. I like to be out on the lake. This isn't up my line. You know, he could have said that, but he didn't. And because he gave himself to the Lord, guess what? God gave him more talents. I think of a man who used to be a deacon here. His name was John Christensen. He was the deacon and he became the treasurer. And I didn't know it, but I didn't know that he didn't even keep the checkbook. His wife did. She wrote the checks. She kept the books. And that wasn't really his forte. But, you know, he got elected the treasurer and the deacon, and that was going to be his job, treasurer, because that's how it was. And so, guess what? He learned how to take care of the books. And in order to take care of the books, he was one of the first guys around to get into computers. And that's really ancient times, you know. But he got into computers, and we got some records here on those old, ancient, whatever, floppy disk, you know, might as well throw them away, I suppose. But, you know, it came time for his company to reorganize. And most of the guys got fired, let go. But John Christensen didn't get let go. You know why? Because he knew computers. And where did he learn computers? How did he learn computers? He learned because he gave his life to serve the Lord. And as he gave his life to serve the Lord, he gained other abilities. He gained more for his life. And so, of course, you know, so you think of that, how God sets everyone in the church as it hath pleased him. and is God's plan for every one of those members to be functioning. Functioning. Now you got, if you're going to function, you got to walk with God. If you're going to function, you have to depend upon the Holy Spirit. If you're going to function, you can't live a worldly life. If you're going to function, there's a boss, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the local church has within it all the ingredients of how to grow. It has all the ingredients of discipleship. You know, I'm more of a firm believer in the realities of discipleship by people just doing what's right in the local church rather than, you know, lesson one, lesson two, lesson three, lesson four. Now, those are fine, but, you know, lesson one, lesson two, and lesson three, lesson four, lesson five. You know where you get those lessons? You get those Sunday school. And then you get that in morning service. And then you get that in the evening service. And then you get that on Wednesday night. And then you get that on soul winning night. And you get it on work night. And you know what? You get all those opportunities to take spiritual truth and to learn spiritual truth and put it in the context of discipleship and growing in the Lord. And it's all based on a person giving themselves to serve the Lord. Okay? And that's a great principle. And as every member functions, what happens? The spiritual life of the church, the spiritual power, the spiritual maturity of the church increases. And you know, every church, not only do people have a level of spirituality, but a church has a level of spirituality. And the level of a church, the spirituality of a church is determined by the people. You know, it isn't determined by the pastor. Nope. He's just one person. I've heard of preachers, I've heard a number of preachers that they try to preach their people, try to get them to come Sunday night, and they won't come to Sunday night. They preach, they try to get them to come Wednesday night, and they won't come on Wednesday night. And they just barely get them there on Sunday morning. And so they figure as long as they got them there Sunday morning, they better keep them as long as they can. But they can't get them to come Sunday night. They can't get them to come to prayer meeting. Well, guess what? The pastor would love for them to come, but he can't get them to come. The spiritual level of the church isn't determined by the pastor. Spiritual level of the church is determined by the people. It's a real factor. In that real sense, this is another aspect of a church is a complete body in Christ. It's a complete body. And it's meant to be functioning. It's meant that you're to say, okay, you know, God has a plan in the local church. God has a plan in the local church. And if I get involved in the plan that God has for the local church, I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to be able to contribute to God's plan. And that body is going to be strong, and the people are going to be reached, and the gospel is going to go out to the ends of the world. So it's just a very self-evident truth, but the church is meant to be complete in itself. What are you doing to make the church complete? What are you doing to make the church complete. You know, we could be carnal and we could say, you know, I'm only going to give a part of what I could give because I don't want to. Well, you can use that attitude in your spiritual gifts. You can use that attitude in your spiritual life. And guess what? The church will be not very strong, will it? You know, we don't have any rich people here, so you can think of it this way. You know, just let's say there was a rich person. Now, most rich people, they don't like to tithe. Now, some rich people don't like to tithe for a good reason. And that is because if they tithed, the rest of the people would be lazy. Do you ever think about that? You know, if you had a millionaire here and he gave $100,000 a year, I mean, that would be just his tithe, right? Makes a millionaire, $100,000 a year. Well, that'd be about a fourth of the church budget, right? And, you know, if there was ever a need in the church, guess what people would think? What do you think they would think? Huh? The rich guy, I give it. Yeah. The rich guy, I give it. You know? Hey, Mr. Rich Man, you'll give it, won't you? We got a special need. We know you got a bunch of money in the bank. You'll give it, right? They would rather have somebody else have faith and sacrifice and trust God and listen to the Holy Spirit. That's why a lot of rich people don't like to tithe. And they like to get lost in a mega church because in a small church, many people would use that as an excuse to do nothing. And that's not God's plan, is it? It's God's plan for everyone to have the spirit of sacrifice, to have everyone have a spirit of faith. And you know what? Because that's how we grow. You know, if we don't give generously, we're not going to grow. We're the ones that get hurt when we don't learn how to give. We're the ones that are hurt when we don't give of ourselves like we ought to the Lord's work. Because we don't grow. We don't have to grow. We don't need the Lord. We don't need faith. We don't need power. We don't need God's presence. We don't need His leading. But we do, don't we? And so local church is just a great place for people to grow. But just think of what a local church can do if everybody functions. If everyone functioned, if everyone said, hey, and I know we have a lot of people like that around here, and they say, hey, whatever I can do, and of course, you know, there's some people that say that, but there's some people that do it. They're always there. They're always there. When there's something, they're there, and they're doing it. It's a great plan for the individual, but it's a great plan for the work of God. The New Testament church is complete in itself. Whether that church is 100, whether that church is 50, whether that church is 1,000, that church is a body of Christ. And it is complete in itself. And it is designed to accomplish and to do the work of God. And in that sense, it doesn't, it isn't dependent on the rich man down the road. It's not dependent upon the guy over there. it ought to be able to accomplish what it needs right within itself, because God has put the body together. Are you using your abilities for the Lord? Are you using your life for the Lord? That's His plan. That's the norm. And you might be thinking you're giving yourself away, but I guarantee you, you in the process will be building your own life. And you will be the one that is built up as you are building up others and the work of the Lord. Lord, I pray that you would use this truth in our life of the completeness of the New Testament church in its functioning and in its existence and in your plan. And Lord, we pray that as we meditate on this truth, that Lord, your Spirit would really work in all of our hearts to be available for you, to be ready, willing to serve you in the thing that we can. And to, Lord, to make all of our abilities available to you to be used for your glory. And Lord, we ask that you will help every young person that is here, that they would recognize that the key, one of the keys to their growth, is to give of themselves to the New Testament church. And each member, Lord, I pray that we would put aside our excuses and all the other things and look at you and what your plan is and be willing and submitted to it. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, the Lord is speaking to your heart. And perhaps there's an area of your life that you haven't surrendered to the Lord. Maybe that spirit of being available, the Lord is speaking to your heart about that. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you about the fact that you need to go and trust the Lord to do that which is maybe a little bit beyond your ability, and you will find that God will even give you greater abilities as you do that. The Lord is speaking to your heart tonight about that, and just by an uplifted hand say, you know, I do need to make a decision about these things. And the Spirit of God may have dealt with you in some specific area. Say, Pastor, pray with me. The Lord has spoke my heart tonight. Anyone here tonight? Okay. Number of different hands. Amen. Others? Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. Anyone else? Lord, I pray that you would direct in these many that have indicated your Spirit was speaking to them. And Lord, we would pray that you would be glorified as they give themselves to you, as they are led of your Holy Spirit, as they do your will for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.